You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole for the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, here with you all on this Draft Wednesday as part of the Locked On Podcast Network, here to talk a couple of different things on a game day in the Crescent City as the Pelicans take on the Denver Nuggets tonight. Of course, I will be previewing that game for you all. But before that, we're going to talk about two different things. The first being Etuan Moore and the fact of how good of a season he's having, how well he's played. And the fact that we just need to appreciate Etuan Moore a little bit more. I'm going to be talking about him, the season he's had, the role he's done. He's been a very integral part for the Pelicans this season. And I was harsh on him last year. Not going to be harsh on him this year. After that, we're going to go look at the Western Conference, the playoff race, the playoff standings, who the Pelicans need to worry about. And I think we're going to start doing that weekly here on the Locked On Pelicans podcast on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, something like that, where we kind of just glance around the Western Conference to talk about what Pelicans fans need to be aware of. And then finally, we'll preview the game for you tonight as the Nuggets come to town. So for the Pelicans, Etuan Moore is having I don't want to call it incredible, but very good season for the New Orleans Pelicans this year. And I was pretty harsh on him last year. I was probably pretty harsh on him. Not harsh, but not complimentary of him to start the year as well. And I said he's maybe just the most average player in the NBA. And then recently, I've been proven wrong. This is a dude who on the season right now is averaging 12.5 points, shooting from the field 52.5%, shooting from three 45.1%, while not really turning the ball over very much, and grabbing you 2 rebounds a game, 2 assists per game, but just is quietly a very good, competent player for the Pelicans and one who fills a variety of roles for the team. That's maybe the biggest thing. He's come off the bench for a couple of games. He started for the most of the season. He started multiple positions for most of the season so far. And this is a guy who's really giving a lot to this Pelicans team and keeping them going when sometimes the scoring droughts come from this offense that we've seen. So let's dive in a little bit deeper to try and appreciate Etuan Moore. You guys see what I did right there? That was pretty good, wasn't it? Terrible pun. I know. Or play on words, whatever you want to call it. So we're going to appreciate Etuan Moore more now. And like I said, first thing that really jumps out at you is going to be the three-point shooting. The Pels need to space the court for these two bigs. That is a very important thing for them. Well, on 3.8 three-point attempts per game, Etuan Moore is hitting 45.1% from that. 2 years ago when he was in Chicago for his final season there before the Pelicans inked him to the big money deal in the offseason, shot 45.2%. That was just on 1.8 attempts. No one really thought that number would carry over, and he dipped to 37% for last season. Good, but not great, really. But he's back up and looking like a sharpshooter and spacing the court and enjoying the space that these two bigs provide to him. But more than that, he's shooting just overall well from the field. And the reason for this, you need to dive into his shooting numbers a little bit more. He has dramatically cut down on mid-range attempts this season. When you look at the percentage of field goal attempts by distance, and we can see this over at basketball-reference.com, just go to his page, click on it's under shooting. Last season in that three where I just completely lost where the numbers were. There we go. Last year, in that 10 to 16 foot range, he took 13.9% of his attempts there. Well, this year, that's down to 8.5%. From 16 feet to the 3-point line, that terrible, they call it the dumb zone range, he took 13.7% of his shots from there. This year, it's down to 8.1%. Shots at the rim, 0 to 3 feet, up dramatically, up from 19.2% this year to 23.7%, 4% more or so. And then 3 to 10 feet is up by about 2% or so there. 20% to 21.2%. He's increasing the close range shot attempts, basically, and then also taking more threes than he has. 38.6% of his shot attempts are from three. It was just 33.6% last season. So you can see he's making he's taking very good shots. He's got very good shot selection this year, and it's paying off. But the most important thing from him is his ability to play multiple roles, I think, as we've seen him now start at different things. He's 6'4", but he's got about a wingspan of 6'7", 6'8", so you don't mind him guarding up a position or down a position, whatever you want to call it, to that small forward spot. So while he started at the two guard for the Pelicans this year alongside Drew Holiday while Rajon Rondo was out, he also then did a lot of the ball handling. You knew they didn't want Drew just being the primary point guard trying to initiate and get the offense going. So there were many possessions where Etuan Moore was the point guard. That was not an easy role for him to necessarily fill. But again, 2 assists per game and keeping the ball moving while limiting turnovers. The rock moves when it hits his hands. That's different than when you had Eric Gordon or, say, Ryan Anderson in there. And then he slid into the starting small forward spot once Rondo came back and the team made the decision to drop Dante Cunningham to the bench. I think everyone agrees that was a good one. And, you know, since then he's been playing incredibly well. And again, you can't complain with 12.5 points per game. That's in 31 minutes per 36 minutes, since we like to look at those numbers. He's averaging 14.5 points per game. That's the highest of his career. This is a guy who's just shooting incredibly well and is willing to play any position the Pelicans need from him. He's doing it. He defends well. He can defend multiple positions. Exactly the type of guy you need. And on his contract at about $8 million a year, looks like an absolute steal. There's a reason he's the guy that's always kind of brought up in trades, because he's really one of the most tradable guys on the Pelicans. Right now, he's so valuable. Unless they got, like, you know, a crazy good deal like DeMarcus Cousins last year, I don't think this team should be moving him. This guy gives you a lot right now. I think, like I said, we need to appreciate him a little bit more. So as I said in the opening, it is Draft Wednesday here on Locked On Pelicans. So fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on draft and playdraft.com are 80% better? 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why Draft is my favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros, and it's not just me. More than 1 million people have downloaded the Draft app as well. Play in a real live NBA draft right now. A draft, not a salary cap league where everyone's taking DeMarcus Cousins or Anthony Davis, or maybe they should be taking Etuan Moore. No digging for diamonds in the rough. You draft a guy, you get him on your team. Be done in under 5 minutes with Draft and get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one whenever you want. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code LOPELICANS. That's right, play in a real money draft for free just by using my promo code LOPELICANS. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Pelicans listeners a money-back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com or playdraft.com and come and play free right now with the promo code LOPELICANS. So next we're going to look at the Western Conference playoff race, and this is something I did last week, and if you haven't noticed recently, I've been trying to structure the show a little bit better, kind of three segments every day, this way we can get kind of the resets in there and then the ads if they do run. Obviously there's, you know, no mistake here, not trying to hide what's going on, of course. So one of the things though I've wanted to do, and I think it's relevant at least this season, who knows if it'll carry over next season, is looking around the Western Conference standings, where the Pelicans stand in that playoff race, who they maybe need to worry about going forward, different things like that, basically. How have some of these teams played? And we're going to do weekly. I don't know what day of the week yet, but it's going to be a segment in there because I think it's valid. We're going to do it today just because, why not? Let's pop it in. So when you look at the Western Conference standings, of course, we still have Houston at 1-18-4, the Golden State Warriors second in there at 19-6, San Antonio not far behind them at 16-8. Those are your top three teams. by far. There's then another tier that's really the 4-9 spot right now. All of these teams are really close. You have Denver, who's coming to town at 13-10, Portland at 13-10, Minnesota at 14-11, Utah at 13-11, and then the Pelicans at 12-12, finally followed by OKC at 10-12 in the ninth spot. And after that, no one else has double-digit wins. It then goes Clippers, Phoenix, LA, Memphis, Sacramento, Dallas. Memphis is free-falling after having a very, very strong start. LA, we knew, wasn't going to make into the playoffs. Dallas is just bad. They're a couple years away. Maybe two, maybe one. I don't know. They have a weird roster. Phoenix is better than I thought they would, but they're still only two games away from the bottom of the Western Conference, and so on. So, you know, what looked like maybe there were going to be, you know, like 14 teams fighting for the 8 playoff spots potentially here doesn't quite look like that much anymore. And we're starting to see some separation. The top three are really going to be set. We all knew that. It's that next jumble of teams. So let's kind of look at them, and I'm going to save Denver. But Portland's tied with Denver for the 4 spot. They have played the easiest schedule thus far, kind of by far. And so they've run out to an okay record. I mean, I wouldn't call, 13-10 a phenomenal record by any means, especially when playing the easiest schedule. And as I talked about on the podcast last week when previewing the game, they do play some very good ball offensively, and they're also just been a terror defensively. You wouldn't expect them to have one of the better defenses in the league. Partially because they get to play some really bad teams, and that helps. And you saw the Pelicans really expose them without Anthony Davis, go out and get that win in a place that's incredibly tough to play. Well, they did it. They showed how you beat that team, and it's by pounding the rock inside and letting, if you have a star big, go and do work. I don't know if teams are always going to be able to do that against Portland, but certainly they're beatable, and you can see that defense is maybe just teams shooting poorly against them. They run people off the line, but if you have good three-point shooters and they're confident enough, they're going to hit their shots because they're having to run you off the line because they're not covering you and preventing you from getting the ball at the three-point arc. They're a beatable team. Let's just jump down to Minnesota next. 14-11. Minnesota has talent. We know about the Jimmy Butler trade. You've got Jeff Teague running point guard for him. You've got Wiggins. You got kind of everybody there. And they're still very good. They're a weird team, though. Like, at 14-11, I don't think anyone really believes in them. Maybe it's because Tom Thibodeau's playing these guys so many damn minutes there that, yeah, it feels like they're going to kind of run him into a ground. Karl Anthony Towns isn't quite making that leap that people think. And defensively, they've really been a mess and have lacked court spacing that makes you wonder if once, you know, they get cold from three and you take away Towns, there should be a very winnable game when you play them. And they're still just trying to kind of figure some things out. Like, they're not fun to watch, and they have a winning record, and it's just a very weird situation of what's going on there. But they have enough talent that it's kind of dragging them to wins. But when you have the defensive rating ranking 27th in the league, teams are going to score on you. And if you have an off night from one of your guys, they have the 5th best offensive rating. They're certainly not going to win, and you've got to wonder if they can figure it out or if there's just going to kind of be like grinding going on there between the players and Thibodeau. They're going to make the playoffs, certainly. I wouldn't put them as the team that doesn't really make it in. But, you know, frankly, you've got to kind of wonder about them long term, and I don't think they're going to finish necessarily as the 4th seed in the Western Conference. Moving on down, let's take a look at Utah, the team the Pelicans lost to last Friday in the Anthony Davis injury game. That's all that matters from that. They, when I previewed them, I was talking about it. They have one of the better offenses since Rudy Gobert went down, and that's largely due to Derek Favors playing out of his mind as that kind of small ball big for him, that small ball center, what have you, and using his, you know, lateral ability to get around bigger players. He's a very good guy. I'd like him on the Pelicans, certainly. But during that stretch, when they went on this run while having one of the better offenses, and I think they've won 6 straight or had a 6-game winning streak in there. I forget exactly if they've lost. Yeah, they're on 6 right now. They've played some not good teams. They beat Chicago to start it off. They then beat Milwaukee. That was a very good win for them. that before moving on to beating Denver, where they didn't have, you know, Jokic and some of those other guys. Then they beat the Clippers. You know, they beat the Pelicans, of course. And then they destroyed Washington the other night. So there's been a bit of a stretch here where, you know, maybe they, you can't tell how good they are. So they played some kind of cupcakes in there during that. So their schedule's been a little bit easier, which is maybe kind of hiding, you know, elevating them more than they should be. But certainly I think that's a good team, and I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think if I had to pick anyone to really fall out in that Western Conference race, it either might be Denver if these injuries really get to them for a long period of time. I'm just going to talk about them when we preview them. Or Portland, because when their schedule gets hard, I don't know how they're going to do. I don't know if that defense is going to be as good as it is. They haven't looked great offensively. And frankly, I'm still a believer in OKC because of the talent there. They should be able to figure that out. And I'm less worried about any other team in the West there. I think, you know, of this group of, what is it, six teams fighting for five spots, I really think it's Portland that might fall out of there, getting the Pelicans in. So you guys hear me plug it all the time, and that's with good reason. So don't forget to tune in to the Locked On NBA podcast. Once a week, catch up around what's going on in the association. We just went over the West. We kind of know about that now, but there's bigger stories. Why is Cleveland playing so well all of a sudden in their winning streak and what's going on there? They cover all that and more in the Locked On NBA podcast. So the Denver Nuggets come to town tonight to play the New Orleans Pelicans in the Smoothie King Center, and the Pelicans are probably looking for a little bit of revenge after a game back on November, I think it was 17th, that Friday, where they lost 146-114, a very ugly loss. Denver had as big of a 34-point lead and put up 82 points in the second half. Not ideal, Pelicans. But they come in a weird place right now. They are without Paul Millsap for an extended period of time. And Nikola Jokic, their center, who we hear a lot of comparisons to with DeMarcus Cousins, is out as well. So they're missing maybe their two best offensive players, potentially. And Jokic is kind of the engine that makes that team go. Since the injury, though, they've beaten Chicago by a point. They beat the Los Angeles Lakers by 15 before getting trounced by Dallas, losing 122-105 the other night on the 4th. They're in a weird spot. They have one of the better offenses in the league. They rank in the top 10. They rank in the bottom 10, though, when it comes to defense, and they're right in the middle of pace. But they've got a very good head coach in Mike Malone, who Pelicans fans are quite familiar with from the one season where he was the lead assistant under Monty Williams. He's kind of a defensive guy, but he's really kind of turned them into an offensive juggernaut. Helped that the Pelicans now assistant coach Chris Finch was there last season to do so as well. So they come in a weird place, and, you know, I don't know if you can really look to this past matchup as an indication of what might happen. Also in that game, Anthony Davis got a concussion, left after playing just 21 minutes, and then just kind of everything was bad. Overall, if you recall in the post-game press conference, Alvin Gentry basically just said it sucked, and maybe have said a couple of other things with that as well. That game, Denver hit a whopping 62.9% of all of its shots, 51.4% from deep, and the Pelicans just didn't want to guard anybody. Jamal Murray, who's known as a three-point shooting player, was left open basically seven times on the three-point line. He hit his shots. Gary Harris, who likes to shoot threes, went 4-6. This is one of those games where the Pelicans are going to need to defend the three-point line, things we've seen them struggle to do. The good news is they're not going to have Millsap out there shooting threes. They're not going to have a guy like Jokic who's going to demand almost a double team, and then you've got to worry about passing. They are going to be a little bit more one-dimensional. They're going to try and bomb threes. And if they don't hit those, the Pelicans have a good chance. This is a very dinged-up team, and they just kind of, like I said, they look a little bit weird right now, and it's kind of, you know, you're not sure what to make of them. All of a sudden, Wilson Chandler's getting a lot of minutes, Mason Plumlee's getting a bunch of minutes, Kenneth Faried's back in there. They're gonna have energy, they're gonna try and run, and they're gonna try and launch threes, and they probably should. And if you can defend that, I think, you know, potentially you can get a win at home because you're catching this team at the right time. Denver defends like I said, won poorly, but they give up the highest second highest shooting percentage to opponents throughout their games. We're going to get good looks. The Pelicans are going to get good looks. And frankly, they can improve those looks by taking shots closer to the rim. In that game against Denver, they scored 56 points in the paint. They put up only 50 the other night against the Golden State Warriors, just 20 in the second half. So they can get out there, score, and play down low. I think you're looking at kind of a game like the Pelicans had in Portland, where just get those looks to Boogie down low. Hopefully he doesn't shoot threes, and he can have a monster game because, frankly, there's not really anyone there on the Denver Nuggets other than maybe Plumlee who's going to kind of be able to body him and take him out of the paint and force him to move. He should have his way in this game, and hopefully the Pelicans can put it together because they do need to get a win that would then put them back over 500 and hopefully inch them up in that playoff race. And all of a sudden, they'd be tied with Denver in the win column and only a half game back, I guess, in the loss column at that point. This is where you got to make your runs. If you could have gotten, you've got a tough stretch of schedule coming up. The two really winnable games here are going to be on Friday against Sacramento, maybe tonight against Denver, and then Sunday they play the 76ers, who are basically, I think, are they in the playoffs? Yeah, they're the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference right now, and they have a guy in Joel Embiid who's a world beater. This is a win the Pelicans need to get, and I don't want to call anything a must win, but they have a chance here to get a win that basically takes a little more pressure off the rest of this homestand. So hopefully they come out and do it. Pound the ball inside. I think you can get a win that way. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Enjoy the game tonight. No matter what happens, I will be back with you all to recap it tomorrow. Trying something new as well. I'm going to be posting the podcast this week when I'm done recording it, basically in the evening the day before. So if you want to get an early start on knowing everything you need to know about your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, you'll be able to get that a couple hours earlier and you won't have to be waiting early in the morning to get it, so you'll be able to listen to it whenever you want. So thank you all for listening today. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'll be back with you all tomorrow.